Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised. Sometimes truth
is stranger than fiction. Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up. It is News Chew time. Welcome back, everybody. This is, we are officially over the hill. This is our 41st episode, and what an episode it is going to be. Both of my wives are here in studio, or what I like to call the studio. It's really more like a living room, but it's my studio. So joining us is now three-time guest Kimberly McFerrin.
Hi!
That was good. And, of course, my wife and life partner, Ashley Fitzsimmons, is here.
Oh, hi!
Yeah, how about that? So, and joining me, of course, as always, is the Paul to my John. The does the Beatle reference work for you this week, Ben?
Yes.
Attaboy. All right.
I got
it. Well, we did it in one take that time, Ben.
Yes, we did. So it's much more time that I forget what you insulted me somehow.
Sure. I do that a lot, probably.
Was there only one time?
Fair point. Fair point.
Hard to know how many times there really were. So, this week, let's start. It's not something we're going to talk about a whole lot because there's not much really to say other than we've all seen the article about the Florida girl who had 11 mugshots taken in 3 years. So just real quick, what would you say to kids, Kimberly, after looking at these pictures of this Florida woman who got arrested for meth 11 times in 3 years.
Oh, God.
What would you tell the children?
You start with me.
Oh, Ashley, what would you tell the children?
Yikes.
Ashley would tell the children yikes. Ben, what would you tell the children after looking at the pictures?
I was looking at the comments
on
it, and I agree with the first one. Should have stuck to weed.
Yeah, that's probably a good call, because meth is a hell of a drug. Essentially, this girl goes from a normal-looking, decent-looking person to a person who got stung by a lot of bees.
Ooh, not even. She looks like she's been eaten by something.
Yeah, like a flesh-eating amoeba has crept into her cheekbones and forehead. It's very horrible. Kids, just don't, you know, just if it comes from the earth, you're good to go. If it's chemically altered by another human, just it's probably best to just steer clear.
Choices were made. That's all I can
say.
That's what I would tell children. You know what, kids? Life is full of choices. And right there, choices were made. She chose to be eaten alive.
But I don't understand how one could look in the mirror and think, this is okay. I'm digging holes in my face.
No, see, what happens
is okay.
Yeah, no, she looks in the mirror and she says, this is happening and it's unfortunate. However, this other thing that I choose to put in my body is more important.
Oh, I'm so vain, I'm not sure I could get to that point.
Choices were made.
Ooh.
Ben, this is also our only trip into Florida. Sorry, Florida.
Is it?
Yeah, I think this is the only one, right?
No, it's not. We do have one story.
Oh, that's right. You know what? It was a late edition, so that's right. Okay, never mind.
But this gives a whole new meaning to pizza face.
No.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
Yeah, like seriously, no. She looks like a pizza was made on her face. We'll put the pictures up on the site. I mean, I'll put a disclaimer on there. I mean, you might not want to look. It gets real bad real fast. Yeah, it gets real ugly real quick.
It's worse than the STD pictures that we were forced to look at in middle school.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs,
much
kid.
Better look at herpes.
That's the moral of this story. Well, I think this is as good an opportunity as any, Ben, to roll out our newest segment. Let's just get after it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Movie Chew. This is a new segment where Ben is going to watch a movie and not tell me what it is. And then we're going to have a conversation about it. And since Kimberly and Ashley are here, they're going to join in the fun. Essentially, Ben is going to tell us about movies. Let's hear it, Ben.
So you don't want to know about it yet, but you want me to describe it?
Well, I want you to tell us the name of the movie and then, give us a little rundown.
Okay, so I watched two movies today, actually, so I'll go over both of them. The first movie I watched was Out of the Furnace.
Okay.
It came out last year. I actually wanted to see it in films. In the theaters. I never got to see it though in the theater. But it's about two brothers who one ends up in prison, really by sort of not his own accord, but it's still his fault. And the other one is trying to get by. He's a four-tour Iraq vet who was trying to get money, and so he does, like, street fighting, like Fight Club, imagine. And he gets into some serious shit, so his brother is the one that has to try to end up trying to end up saving him, but shit goes bad really quickly.
Shit goes bad really quickly. Ben, Casey Affleck plays the brother, is that correct?
Yes, you have Christian Bale, who's the main character, and Casey Affleck, who plays his brother. Willem Dafoe plays the guy that Casey Affleck owes money to. And then Woody Harrelson plays a guy that Willem Dafoe owes money to. So it's a chain, as you can tell.
I thought Woody Harrelson was great in this movie. Really powerful. Good stuff.
See, we're already off to a bad foot. You've already seen the movie.
No, I haven't actually seen the movie, Ben. I'm just making that up. I assume, because Woody Harrelson is awesome, that he was probably good at this.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing now.
Yeah.
sort of.
Okay, good. All right. It's confusing. What I liked most about this movie was the conflict between family members.
But it doesn't last very long, though.
And there you have it.
So that was good. I liked that part of it. What was your favorite part, Kimberly?
Well, you know, I actually really like that Willem Dafoe is on this new spin where he's playing gangsters all the time.
Yeah, what's up with
he
that?
He just did what was that movie? Grand Budapest Hotel, and he also was a gangster and very good. So, you know, I just really like that he gets to play those roles.
Mm-hmm.
That's
about
as far as I go.
Well, I just think that it's always nice to see a little Casey Affleck because he kind of seems like the stepchild, you know, of the pair of he and his brother. So I just feel like it's nice to see Casey Affleck doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Not an Ocean's movie.
Sure.
Anything. Well, getting some airtime. Just getting his little face out there.
Getting out there, you.
Yeah. Little buddy.
So Ben, what would you rate this movie? What on your scale? Do you have a scale?
Yeah, 1 to 10.
Okay.
Okay.
That seems logical.
I guess. I mean, it's like,
sure, makes some sense.
With 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, obviously.
You could have. Are you sure? Because you could have flipped it. You could have gone with 10 as the worst.
And number one.
And number one is number one.
I could have, but I'm going to be traditional.
All right.
And boring and plain.
It's okay.
I'd probably give about a 7.5 out of 10.
No
sure.
way. That okay. good, huh?
Pretty good.
I enjoyed it. I really did like the movie.
What's it called?
Out of the Furnace.
Okay.
Back to the bad names.
I think that we did. Yeah, I think that we did a pretty good job. Has any? All right. Well, now for the fun part. I definitely have not seen it. I mean, we already spoiled that. Have you ever seen it?
No, I've never seen
Ashley,
it.
Ashley,
did
you ever see it?
No.
All right. I think we did a great job pretending like we saw that movie.
I thought it was going to be a really bad horror movie. Out of the Furnace to me,
something
possessed,
like a Freddy Krueger documentary,
yeah.
Like a prequel.
But then once you said Christian Bale was in it, I remembered what it was. And then once I said Casey Affleck, you gave me more names. And then that was the only thing I could think to do was talk about actors, and everyone followed suit. Good work.
Well done, guys.
All right, now what was the other movie you saw, Ben?
Okay, the second movie I saw today, I've never even heard of it before, but it's only a 2-year-old movie. It actually has two names, but the one in America that I guess we're used to is called Into the White.
Into the White. Okay.
Or Cross of Honor if you're British. It's about these three takes place during World War II. It's about these three German fighter pilots who they crash, and they're in the middle of Norway. And they get to, like, this Norwegian cabin. There's nobody there. And upon getting there, there are two British pilots as well. So it's about them trying to survive with being conflicted about, you know, them being enemies. And the only person I knew in the movie was Rupert Grint, who plays Ron Weasley in Harry Potter. He was the only person I knew. I didn't know anybody else in that movie.
Ron Weasley, he's a TikTok now.
Yeah, I've heard that. He should probably stick to Harry Potter movies. It's too bad that there aren't any more. That's just more of a statement of purpose.
Oh, come on, let him play an adult.
No, I just want more Harry Potter movies. That was really more a selfish
wish. But he gets to grow up, you know? He doesn't have a six-pack and
Dan Rad be a player for him.
Dan Rad? Is that what you call
it? Yeah, Dan Rad. Actually, you know what? What kills me about Harry Potter is the kid. What's his name? Neville. Neville Longbottom kind of got hot.
He got really hot.
What the hell?
Yeah, he got really hot.
Yeah, but this movie, it definitely touches on some sensitive subject matter, and whenever you have anything involving a plane crash, it always becomes instantly more tense. You know,
I really appreciate the political history about it. I love history, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I'm always excited when you have conflicting countries, and suddenly people have to be friends in order to survive. I like that mm-hmm. about it.
Now, do you think it's one of those loosely based on a true story?
Everything in the world is loosely based on a true story.
Yeah.
Out of the Furnace, the horror movie, is loosely based on a true story.
Tyler Perry's Nebraska. That's our favorite movie here at the Mystery. Tyler Perry's Nebraska. Ben, what else struck you about the movie?
I don't know. I kind of thought that I didn't really know what to think about going into it because,
like everyone else, you had never heard of it before.
Yeah, basically, and I didn't really know what to expect from it. I was surprised that the German actors, I'm assuming they're German at least, who portrayed the soldiers, spoke so well in English, because it actually is based on something that happened in World War II. And from what I was reading, that the Germans only really spoke broken English, and that the British spoke broken German, but in the movie, the Germans speak perfect English, and the British speak no German whatsoever. So, I mean, if they want to go for some historical accuracy, we might want to throw that in there.
Okay. All right. Is this historical accuracy coming from a European history textbook that exists in American schools, or what kind of history are we talking about that is or is not accurate?
I guess if it's just accounts of it, I really don't know. I guess it's just word of mouth at some point.
Oh, sure. The old telephone game.
The old telephone game. Spoiler alert, Rupert Grint gets blown up by a mortar at the end of the movie.
Is this true?
No, I fucking know. I've never seen the movie. What fuck am I supposed to know? Just sounded like something fun to say.
Is it awkward that I got excited?
Ron Weasley gets blown up by a mortar at the end. Ben, true or false?
False. Oh!
Does he survive the film?
He does, but it says in the credits, the guy that he's based on, he and the other British guy had another air raid they went into, and he died in that one.
Oh, spoiler alert, everybody who's probably not going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
You're going to watch it?
Yes.
It's on Netflix.
Can't wait to watch
it's
it.
It's on Netflix, eh?
Actually, both of those movies are on Netflix.
Oh. Well, yeah, Out of the Furnace I've seen before. Now that you've told me about it, I don't feel the need to watch it anymore. So that's good. I'm going to kill every person that in every movie that we ever talk about on this segment. I'm going to make sure that they die at the end.
Oh, okay.
It's
that's
just
kind of
I don't know.
Dark.
Yeah, well, that'll happen from time to time. What do you...
I'd probably give Into the White maybe a 7 out of 10.
Okay, so Into the White was just a half a point worse than Out of the Furnace in your mind.
Yes.
Okay, I'll go with that.
So it held your attention.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
For you to get a seven star rating if we're starring it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I think maybe you're being too generous. Maybe this movie was terrible.
Hey, you guys, how about this? Trivia for the movie. The names of the German airmen were not changed for the film. However, the names of the British airmen were changed. Why is that?
The American Socialist Party?
What?
I don't fucking know. Ben, any ideas?
I'm lost.
How come we can know who the dirty krauts were, but we can't know who the good guys were? What's up with that?
Because who were really the good guys, really?
Oh, good point. Eh, debatable. 50-50.
Each of them thought they were a good guy.
That's true. In all stories, everyone thinks they're the good guy.
Especially the Germans in
especially
World War.
The Germans. In
and
every
in
World
every
War.
World War.
Yeah, they always think they're the good guys.
Mm-hmm. Fighting for the good stuff, you know?
Yeah. Can I see that back?
Yeah, sorry.
So, no, that's all right. All right, so great. Good work, everybody. Way to fake your way through not seeing either of those movies. Ben, I can't wait to see what you pick next week. So far, your choices have been titillating and a little bizarre. And I actually appreciate that. It'll keep me on my toes.
The perfect combination.
The perfect combination. Well, let's start. Since Kimberly is here, and she grew up in the relative area of Portland, Oregon, let's start with a story from Portland, Oregon. How does that sound there, pal?
Oh, no. I'm very excited.
You know what? Actually, for this show, it's actually pretty tame. It's just kind of weird. It's an interesting
Portland
story.
Portland is weird.
The headline reads, Portland Bridge for Sale, if you have somewhere to put it. It reads, if you have somewhere to put it, local officials in Portland, Oregon are offering a decrepit 1,100-foot-long steel bridge at a knockdown price. The Selwood Bridge comes with a paved road, sidewalks, and railings, but none of the support beams that currently hold it aloft above the Willamette River.
Time out. It's Willamette River. Willamette? And also, you don't get... I know. It's because... Yeah, it's Willamette.
All right. We pronounce...
It should be Willamette.
Yeah,
if you were speaking French. Okay. However, the reason they are not selling the support beams is because they're literally disintegrating. So they're just giving you the roadway of the bridge. Good.
So, I mean, essentially, the buyer, if you are willing to buy the bridge... You have to prove that you have somewhere to keep it and the funds to move it, as well as relocate it without lead paint contaminating the environment.
Ooh.
So that narrows the market down to...
No one.
Ben, no. Who's going to buy this bridge?
Phil Knight.
Who's that?
He is Nike.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, he might buy a bridge just for the shit of it.
Yeah.
Ben, who do you think has a need for a bridge purchase?
Maybe somebody who wants to, I don't know, maybe use it in a movie, if they plan on blowing it up.
That's actually a good call, Ben. Yeah, it's a good idea.
And can I just say, I just love the knockdown price for the bridge.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Oh, it's a solid pun.
You disgusting pun lover.
How much do they, did they publish the knockdown price?
No,
What's the discount value? Is this
the
like Groupon?
They estimate that the move would cost about $1 million. That's all it says.
The move would cost $1 million.
Yeah, moving the bridge would cost $1 million.
Not acquiring the bridge.
The acquiring it would be free. They're willing to give you the bridge, but you have to prove you have somewhere to take it. And that you can afford to move it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so they're just giving away the bridge.
Well.
They're just saying, here's a free bridge. Good luck.
They're saying, we don't want to deal with the necessary precautions in order to protect the environment to remove the bridge ourselves.
So you do it.
So you do it. You protect the environment. You take it away. And we have to know that you have somewhere to take it so that you don't just dump it somewhere else and inevitably end up making it our problem once again.
I think that it might be a good idea for, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas to buy it together, and then they can have a bridge from one house to the other. So, they can just back out of their driveway and drive up and over the bridge to each other's house and ruin more movies. So, that'll be cool. Ashley, what do you think? What does one do with a bridge?
First off, I just think this is so very classic Portland. Because, of course, they don't want to just get rid of this thing. They want to reuse it, recycle this fucking bridge.
That's right. You're absolutely right about that.
But I'm not sure as to what to actually do with it. I mean,
what does one do with a bridge?
A person had a moat, know?
Like someone has a moat.
Somebody's got to have a moat.
A sweet-ass moat?
That would be pretty fucking awesome.
I'm on a moat. But also the Selwood Bridge is long, you guys.
Is it? How long?
Well, it said,
it said 1,100
feet? It was 1,100 feet.
Yeah, the Selwood Bridge
is
long.
It's a really long bridge. I mean, that's from here to the railroad tracks over there. I mean, that's a long way.
So,
that's
I guess maybe, some sort of a recluse or someone who has a lot of land.
A farmer?
Who wants to, be cute about it and have, this is like the repurposed part of my farm, and this is where we use pallets in order to grow our tomato garden, and this is where this is where we repurpose this bridge. So we just drive our tractor back and forth.
A former homeless man who won the lottery is now a millionaire and misses sleeping under a bridge.
Oh no, you didn't.
What? I mean,
where would he put it? He doesn't own
He's a millionaire now. Maybe he does.
That is a
lifetime. If he's only a millionaire, he just spent all of his money acquiring a bridge.
And maybe he misses sleeping under bridges, so he's like, I gotta get me that bridge.
Where would he put it?
On some property that he's just gonna buy somewhere. Because he's a millionaire now. He won the lottery. I'm just saying, that's one of the only ways that this actually works out.
But here's the thing, you don't get the supports from the bridge, so you're essentially getting a cement roadway with guardrails. You're not actually getting a bridge. You're getting a roadway.
Ben, could Ohio use a bridge like that?
You know who could use a bridge like this? Is somebody who wanted to create, like, the world's biggest outdoor, like, bowling alley?
Ooh.
Hey.
Like a hockey rink? I mean...
Actually, that's kind of a cool idea. Because you could just, yeah, you just freeze over the top of it.
Because it's not like anybody's going to be driving over it. If you have the rights to it, you can just, you know, bar it off. You know, you can just put, like, cement and shit in walls. I don't know.
A giant luge course.
A giant luge. Mm.
If you wanted to remake Cool Runnings in your backyard.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I would love to remake Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings 3?
Cool Runnings 3, still running.
Cool Runnings again.
Cool Runnings again. The third time. We couldn't get Dougie fresh this time. Wait, that's not it. Who is it? Who's the lead guy in that? His name is something like that. Like Dougie Doug or something.
Dougie
weird
Doug.
Like that. Is that what it is?
Not Marky Mark.
Not Marky Mark. Dougie Doug.
It's Dougie Doug.
Is it Dougie Doug? Yeah. That's a weird name. It's a weird
I didn't know John Candy was in that.
Yeah, he's a coach.
John
the
Candy's
coach.
The skipper.
Oh, John Candy.
Poor John Candy.
Very good.
Oh, speaking of which, real fast, just... I don't want to bring everybody down, but we haven't
we
had a show since Robin
it.
Williams
yeah.
died. So I guess since we're kind of somehow got on that subject, just real fast, I don't know, what's the best way to honor the guy? Just say, like, your favorite movie of his and why you liked it?
I've actually seen movies of his.
Good, so we can do that. Let's do that. Ben, go ahead and go first. Give me, what's your favorite Robin Williams movie and why did you like it or what did you like about what he did? Oh, no. Did I put you on the spot?
No, I mean, I'm between two, but I'm probably going to go with Patch Adams.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay. Killer. What, and was it, it spoke to you on an emotional level, or?
Well, no, it was just, it was a movie, it was between that and Jumanji. Both of them
good,
I saw.
Good choices.
Both
yeah, both good choices.
When I saw them when I was really young, and I just really liked both of them. Mm. And, I mean, you know, watching Robin Williams do stand-up and stuff like that throughout the years, it's just... It sucks that he's gone. I mean, it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that type of comedic genius and just the good person he was, I mean, that's just... It's sad.
It's, yeah. I appreciate, Ben, that, like, you know, we are essentially 10 years apart and you still appreciate the loss and acknowledge the loss because we were alive in his heyday when he was at the peak of his powers when he could do no wrong. And so, yeah, it sucks. Real hard. And I'd never realized how much I appreciated him until that happened. I just sat and watched clips from Good Will Hunting and Dead Poets Society and Aladdin, and I just made me sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I cried. This is not the first time that I've been asked this question in the recent past, but I can't pick one.
Okay, that's fair.
I think I've narrowed it down to three, and they are Dead Poets, Hook, and Mrs. Doubtfire. Mm. Because I feel like when those movies were new in the world, those were like the movies that I fell in love with him with. And then, and so there was like that like childhood attachment to the... genuine person inside of those funny movies. Like in Mrs. Doubtfire, that courtroom scene when he fights for his kids, forget about it, I'll cry every single time. And then Hook, too, he has when he's leaving Neverland, he just has such real moments. But those were like my first exposures to Robin Williams, and then beyond that, once I became older and started to appreciate his artistic process and all of the stand-up comedy that he did, then I obviously was able to gain, like, a different and greater respect for him, but I feel like with those early on, with those young movies, that was where I welcomed him into my heart. Very sad.
Ashley?
You?
It is tough. And I'm going to say that my favorite character that he's done is the genie in Aladdin.
Mm.
However, I think that watching him live in the flesh... like, on, like, actually him on film is so spectacular, and I think that the reason is he's just got so much soul behind everything that he did. Like, his one shot at this man, and you could see exactly everything that was going on. You could see an entire story just looking into this person's eyes. And that is really spectacular, and that's not something you see very often at all anymore. I mean, honestly, I can think of a handful of others that can do what he did. So I do appreciate watching him live, and Mrs. Doubtfire is just, like, one of the most heartbreaking and lovely roles I think that he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the genie is also just spectacular. It's a spectacular performance.
Mine is Good Will Hunting. That one will be hard to watch from now on. I don't know that I'll be able to do it. So that's too bad. Because I really like that movie, and I really like him in it. But my favorite thing that I've ever seen of his is in 2002 when he did his Live on Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
That I still think that that's probably my favorite stand-up set that I've ever seen in any form. And I would put it up there with some of the greats ever, with Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy. And I think that for a guy to be in his late 40s and early 50s and still work at 150 miles an hour was just... There are not people like that anymore, and there never will be again. So it's very...
I think the one reason why I really appreciate Robin Williams, and this is going to sound kind of lame because I know, you know, you guys really know him for his acting as well, and so do I. But I think the greatest thing is because he was also a really big gamer, too.
Mm-hmm.
Very into Legend of Zelda, very into the Warcraft series, and all over. I mean, he played tons of games, shooters, adventures, whatever. I mean, he even named his daughter Zelda, mm-hmm. actually. And there was a petition going around to make him an NPC, a non-player character in World of Warcraft, and the people at World of Warcraft said they were going to do that. And there's a similar one going around for the next Legend of Zelda game, and I think that's a very touching movement, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that, and I didn't know that about him. And I actually thought of you when I read that, man, that he was a gamer. Apparently they're going to immortalize him in a World of Warcraft game that's coming up soon. Mm-hmm. So that'll be nice. He probably would have liked that. He wouldn't want us to be sad anymore, either.
Sure.
We've grieved. It's been about a week, I think. He would want us all to get back at it. I'll tell you what Robin Williams wouldn't find funny is our next story. Good segue. Yeah.
Good.
Everybody happy?
Well,
agreeable?
Solid.
Good work.
Solid.
Our next story. Man fined for pretending to be a ghost in Portsmouth Cemetery. A man has been fined for pretending to be a ghost and other rowdy behavior in a cemetery. Anthony Stollard pleaded guilty.
What else can you plead?
To using threatening or abusive words or behaviors likely to cause distress.
What? Boo?
I guess. He just kept jumping out and saying boo. But his wiener was hanging up. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think there's anything to back that up. Actually, yeah, it does say that at one point he was throwing his arms in the air and saying, woo! It's right there in quotes. So, you know. Ben, you live in Ohio where people hang out in graveyards all the time. Is this common behavior?
Of course. I mean, the natural Ohio citizen just does this on a daily basis. And it just... At first it was kind of mind-blowing, but now it's not anymore. The fact that it spread over to England, where this particular story happened, is kind of hilarious. But I guess this is what drinking can lead to, and in this story it did, because it said he had been out drinking with his friends, where originally they went to the cemetery not to dress up as ghosts and scare people, but to play soccer in a cemetery.
Hooligan.
Classic soccer hooligan. Playing soccer in the graveyard. I think that it's amazing the fine that he got. It was £35 just in general, then another £20 for a victim surcharge, and then just £20 in costs. Just, you know, just costs.
Just average.
Just costs of being an asshole.
Right.
Yeah, the expenses that come with that.
General cost of stupidity. So, I mean, £75 to dress up like a ghost and scare people in a graveyard when you're drunk, he probably thinks it's worth it.
I don't know.
It might be worth it.
I don't know about that.
It might have been really fun, you guys.
It might have been super duper fun.
I would hope that he had a better strategy than just, ooh.
Unfortunately, he did not. Just threw his hands in the air and said, woo! That's not very convincing as a ghost. He should have, like, tried to guess their name, like, hid behind the gravestone and been like, Margaret, it's me, Edward.
Right.
You know, try to, you know, get him, like, do a weird laugh or something. Try to actually incite some fear and terror instead of just being a fucking weirdo.
Find some chains to clink around, you know, do something, man.
I mean, you know, putting a sheet over your head and jumping out at people is hardly...
Okay, but who goes to a graveyard to play soccer and brings a sheet with them?
Well, I mean, first of
all...
Were
they going to have a picnic?
Are you going to question the logic of someone going to a cemetery to play soccer? I guess is the penultimate question there.
But I want to know why you would take a sheet with you to play soccer.
Maybe he didn't take it with for the specific intent of being a ghost. Maybe it just happened to be in the car.
Maybe he was going to wipe up the soccer ball in case it got dirt or
with
somebody's ashes on it.
Sure.
Ashes in a graveyard, Benjamin.
Here's what I want to know. I want to know what happened in the evening leading up to ending up in a graveyard.
Hey, guys, let's go do that.
Let's go play soccer.
It sounds like it'd be
a fun
movie. Like,
how did that
happen?
We can make it.
We can make it.
Ben would be good in that.
It'd be a good movie.
But how do you get to that point?
You have enough beers to where you say, hey, guys, who wants to go play soccer? Football.
Football. No.
Who wants to go play football? Ooh, me. Well, we can't play in the street, so how about that graveyard over there? Perfect. Let's do it. Oh, let's bring this sheet in case we want to sit down and have some cheese and some wine later. Great idea. Good. Good. Love it.
Okay. Yeah, the hooligans with the cheese and wine.
Right.
Yeah. Hooligans love cheese and wine.
Right.
Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
In a graveyard, especially.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all coming together now.
Okay.
We've got the story figured out. Okay. So.
Now, Ben, you and I, we hung out in a graveyard when you were here a few weeks ago. But we didn't try to scare anybody. We just said hello and let people grieve in peace.
Said sorry for your loss.
Yeah. That didn't happen. Don't look at me like that, wife.
Okay. I was like,
ooh, dagger eyes.
That was a joke.
What?
I oftentimes make up things that aren't true, and Ben goes along with it.
Okay.
So
I'm a bad influence.
He's an accessory to my crimes.
It's okay. I was just going to say, really, you couldn't think of anything better.
Do you really not know me better than to think that I just go sit at a graveyard with a beer with my young friend and we just wave at people?
I never know. I never know.
That's not good
that's
for me,
fair.
Ben.
That's a fair statement, though.
I never know what to expect.
Not with the man with the hidey hole, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ben, my wife's bought me a hooded sweatshirt today that has a hiding pocket for my beer. It maybe is the greatest invention that's ever occurred.
Or as we like to call it, the hidey hole.
Yeah, the hidey hole.
The hidey hole. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Ben.
Ben loves
that.
That's my fault.
Ben loves
that
story.
I recently got a new phone, and I hope my phone doesn't do this, like in story number
three. Oh, that was good. He's trying to keep us on topic.
Good work, Ben. So in story number three, this is the headline for it, straight out of the Washington Post. And this is our Florida story of the week. There's an app for that. Did a man ask Siri for help hiding a body? So there is this 20-year-old college kid who's accused of killing an 18-year-old Florida kid. And afterwards, it's, I guess, assumed. I confirmed. I don't know. But what happened basically was that he looked to nobody else in this world, not even a person. He looked to his phone and said, Siri, I need to find a place to dump this body. And Siri responded to him, what kind of place are you looking for? Swamps, reservoirs, metal foundries, dumps. So it's not a particularly funny story,
but
it's just like, damn.
I think
we should blame Siri for this.
Hold on. I've asked Siri this before.
Where to hide a body?
Yes, because it was a funny thing to ask Siri. Like, right after Siri came out and we all got her.
We asked her all kinds of things.
Yeah.
There's some crazy shit that you can ask.
I know,
like,
and it's really
what's flying
funny.
Overhead right now, and
right.
It gives you, like, every airline,
serious
every...
Serious answers, some of them. Some of them are, like, ridiculous bullshit answers, and the hiding the body was one of them.
And what kind of answers did you get?
I think that I got the
probably
reservoir
the same thing, yeah.
What are you looking for? Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Siri, where can I hide a body?
Again?
Yes, bitch. Where can I hide a body?
Did she just say what again?
Oh, yeah, she did.
That's what I
So where do I hide a body?
Dude, if the police show up, I'm gonna be really mad. She's not gonna answer me now. She's been implicated, yeah. And the police are on their way.
She Thanks. Is a cheeky bitch.
And she's using my phone.
Siri, where do I hide something that I never want to be found?
I would prefer not to say.
Oh, see, good. She's gonna talk to her lawyer first.
Good Doug.
Yeah.
Good Doug.
So I'm glad we did that research real fast, just to make sure that this will never happen again.
Oh my God, that's
yeah,
special.
It really is. Special.
I mean, it is kind of funny, right?
Is it? I don't
like,
know about
well,
that.
The funny part isn't the acts that occurred. The funny part is the fact that he was genuinely serious, and like it just thought it was a joke. Like something being on Siri that was just there sort of for fun and as play can then be used for something malicious and vindictive. That sort of fucking sucks.
Right.
And the girl who wrote the article, she said, I need to hide my roommate. And Siri responded, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, clearly, Siri learned from her mistakes.
Yeah, and we just proved it right here on live internet radio that she will not tell you any longer where to hide your dead bodies.
So you have to wonder then, are they going to have to use Siri to testify?
Sure.
That would kind of be amazing. I mean, didn't they make a movie about Siri having a whole relationship with Joaquin Phoenix?
I'm sure they can pull some sort of record, though.
Oh my God, that movie, you guys, was good and also really, like, a little bit made my skin crawl.
Oh, interesting. I can see that.
It was really good, but it also was really a little bit, I was uncomfortable.
I was just glad Joaquin Phoenix had a mustache to cover that hair lift.
He was, oh no, you didn't!
You did.
How dare you?
You went there.
How dare you?
I love a good hair lift joke. Go on.
He was, the scenes where they would have, what do you call it? It's not phone sex.
I don't know.
Well, technically it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess technically it would be
with
phone sex.
Phone.
Yeah, you're having phone sex.
Is
you're
it?
Having sex
yeah,
with the phone.
You're having phone,
so
sex. Phone
sex. Yeah.
The phone sex scenes are very strange.
I hope he's wearing protection, otherwise he's going to get hearing aids.
Oh,
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 oh, oh man.
No.
And you didn't like my hair lift joke.
Oh, no. AIDS jokes are always funny.
Oh, that's true. That was a good one, man. Ben, that was some of your best work. That was the anti-Hindenburg from 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yes, I redeemed myself.
That was good. That was solid redemption. You guys, Ben crashed and burned a few weeks ago. I hate to keep bringing it up, Ben, but man, it was brutal.
And of course, Lou just didn't stop, did he? He just went on and on about how bad it was. Right, Ben?
Wait, tell me, what happened?
Ben lined up this amazing margarine pun. It was a story about butter. Ben had it. It was going really well. Everything was going smooth. You could see the end of the tunnel. He went to say the word margarine, and he said margarine. And then he stopped, and there was this long pause.
No.
It was a disaster.
It wasn't one of my butter puns.
It wasn't one of my butter puns. The master's back. The king has returned.
Oh my God, you guys, are the cops here?
Yes.
Shut up.
No. Wait.
Ben, they both just got so nervous.
I did get nervous. All of a sudden, I saw lights coming up over the hill. I was like,
oh, hell no.
Don't, you better not turn me in, Siri.
Siri turned you in.
They're calling me.
When you hear rapid gunfire, when you hear semi-automatic weapons, don't worry, it's just the cops.
Yeah, Ben, when they start firing tear gas in here, you're going to have to call the police for us. It'll make for great radio, though. It'll definitely be our best episode ever. We'll get millions and trillions of hits. It'll be great.
Tune in next week, folks, when we do it live from prison.
Yeah.
Or the hospital.
Probably the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, from the ICU.
So, but the point of this is, I mean, obviously, you're not right in the head and you murder somebody, but, I mean, to ask his phone, I need to hide my roommate, I mean, if you're going to be smart about this, not that I'm advocating murder, I am not, but if you're going to be smart about a crime, don't leave such noticeable evidence behind.
Nobody that ever gets caught is smart about a crime.
No. And I mean, don't you, like, do you not watch any television or listen to any radio or read any sort of printing? Do you not know that anything that you do? Yeah, do you not know that by downloading Facebook Messenger, that Facebook now has rights to your whereabouts 2,000% of the time? If you're taking a poop, Facebook is going to know about it.
And they also know who you email and who you call.
Okay. I also do not have it, but I'm just, let's not go off on that tangent. No. That's a talk for another day. My point, though, is that, like, how do you not know that anything that you do that's technology-based, everybody knows about? Everyone can get in your business.
That's why kids should not be allowed to be on the interwebs.
Well, and
they
then
don't
it,
know.
Yeah.
It also says something that that's the first place that he learned. He grew up with Google. Right there, instantly.
Remember Ask Jeeves? I wonder what Jeeves would say if you asked him that.
What would Jeeves say?
Ben, do you even know what Ask Jeeves is?
Oh, yeah,
okay,
I know. All right,
I'm just making sure.
He just Googled it to find out.
He just Googled Ask Jeeves. I wonder what Jeeves would have said. I wouldn't recommend it. I imagine Jeeves to be some sort of weird, goofy bastard.
Old man shaking his finger at
I
wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't recommend
it. When it would come up as, like, clip art, Jeeves right in the middle of your screen, wagging his finger at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet that's what would happen.
So that was pretty sad and a pretty horrible examination of our culture, but I don't think it's nearly as sad as the next story. Here we go. That was a good one, too. Ben, en fuego on these transitions today. Couple dies after trying to take selfie on cliff edge in Portugal. That's right. A Polish couple was killed after they tried to take a selfie on a cliff in Portugal and fell hundreds of feet. The couple fell from the rocky edge of a cliff in Cabo da Raca, Portugal, on Saturday. The real tragedy here, so this is kind of a sad story to begin with, but the real tragedy is that their children, ages 5 and 6, were there and watched it.
Oh, my God!
The parents could not be recovered until the next day because of the tide coming in. So, it's a terribly sad story. However, the reason that I wanted to talk about on the show is because our obsession with the telephone machine and the interwebs is literally leading us to die all the time, whether it's texting and driving or tweeting and driving or trying to take a selfie on a fucking cliff. Mm. We need to start checking ourselves before we wreck ourselves. It's really the key here.
Lou.
Yes, Ben. Oh, no. What are you going to do?
Nothing, but do you think, I mean, obviously taking I hate that fucking word.
Just say it.
The selfie.
Attaboy.
On a cliff edge is the smartest thing to do. I don't, and I think these people should. Yeah, I'm sorry that they're dead, but I think they're definitely up for our Darwin Winner of the Year award.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I was thinking. How did not one of them?
Yeah.
Think we're a little bit too close here. Maybe we should just take a step forward.
Yeah, and if you're taking a selfie, why do you have to be on the edge of the cliff?
That's the part I don't understand either.
It's the shot is backwards. The ocean is behind you, irregardless.
And can your six-year-old, I know we've kind of been...
My four-year-old can take a picture of me.
Yeah, I know. She
could
take
one
when she was 2.5 with
my
phone. So, I mean, kids today now, they're not... It's not like a kid can't push the fucking button and take the fucking picture for you. Now you're dead and floating in the ocean for a day.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
It's
they can
kinda,
never, those children can never unsee that.
No,
nope.
That's permanent damage right there.
That's 30
those are some
years
future,
of therapy.
Those are some future Polish serial
That's
killers.
A lifetime of therapy.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is therapy that will never end.
Yeah, probably.
See, maybe the guy in story number 3 should have asked Siri where to hide a body in, you know, Portugal.
Oh.
A cliff would be a good idea.
Ben.
Just toss
it off the cliff. Actually, you're not wrong. That's actually a pretty good call.
I'm just throwing ideas out there.
She said it. Wasn't me.
Just.
I really should not make puns about this subject. I feel terrible.
Nah, you don't need to feel terrible.
Yes. No,
I can't
make puns about this. If the children were not a part of the story, it would be different.
Yeah, that's true. I do. But, I mean, seriously, it's reached a point of too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's the own relative modern version of natural selection. This is the point where our society gets to a certain place in progress where you know, we start, yeah, tapping ourselves out, the ones who are not smart enough to move forward.
Yep.
And damn it, I'm going to make a declaration to get rid of selfies. This is the shit that
happens. Well, now you have something to point to and say, selfies take lives.
They do.
That's a headline,
man. Good
see?
One.
Ooh. Yeah. Wow.
Sometimes I have some genius. Yeah.
Selfies.
That would be my bumper sticker.
That'd be a sweet-ass bumper sticker.
I'm just going to Google something real quick, don't mind me.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's a sad story. We've been pretty good about not having stories like this lately, but this one we couldn't pass up, unfortunately, because it hurts when you have a mirror held up to your face, I guess. So,
but doesn't that say something about our culture, though? Not even just American culture, obviously, since these people are Polish, but just worldwide culture with everything. Like, you have to be so fucking obsessive about this shit that it literally kills you.
I wonder if death from twerking will be the next fad.
I hoped so.
You guys,
can we get rid of that shit?
Hold on, this is not the only death by selfie story.
Oh, really? Oh no.
Oh, dear.
Teen plunges to her death after trying to take selfie on top of a railway bridge. She was 17.
That's a good idea. Okay. Selfies.
Man electrocuted to death after trying to take a selfie on top of a... Wait for it.
On top
ellipses. Of ellipses will turn into... On top of a stopped train.
Oh, well, God. That was a good idea in the first place.
Great.
Wow. So there you go, Ben. The campaign to get rid of selfies in America now has a fighting chance because selfies take lives.
Death by selfie is a searchable phrase that pulls up multiple stories.
Part of the New York Post. Now you see where I'm coming from.
Also, no, this is different. On the front of the New York Post, a girl is famous because she took a selfie with a man who is jumping off of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh!
So she's standing on the shore. She's standing on the ground in Brooklyn, and the Brooklyn Bridge is behind her, and she's taking a selfie being like, look at this fucking guy jumping off the bridge behind me. He's committing suicide. Look at this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
We're bad. Yep. We're a culture full of bad people.
We see everything
through
the camera lens. Yep. Desensitizing everything.
But these people are asking for it. They're asking for bad things.
I mean, you have to be smarter. If you want to take a picture of some beautiful, you know, water and rocks in the background, you need to stay a safe distance away. Like, this was an avoidable tragedy. Like, this, it did not need to go down like this. There are a lot of options other than, like... Two people, you know, one person doing this, you know, that's fine. But two people, they should have been able to reason this shit out amongst themselves. Don't you think at least one of them would have been like, oh, I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, especially with this cliff one, you think there'd be like, oh, danger, don't go over here. And if the parents went over that line, then that's definitely on them. And I feel so bad for their children.
Yes. Some of the articles say that they were actually trying to take a selfie with their children in it.
Oh, God. That's even worse.
Yeah, that is even worse. It's no bueno.
There's also this one, I don't even know.
It's not gross.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Nope. There's a picture involved.
Yeah.
It's not
Let's
worth
just
it.
Say it involves a lot of blood in a toilet, and the word selfie is said repeatedly.
So, another story of a teen dying taking a selfie, but there's like a photo of the crime scene. Crime scene? Death scene. What do you call it? Anyway.
So, the person that had the blood in the toilet, taking the selfie, obviously they just had Taco Bell or something.
Ugh. Boy, I wish that's what it was. I don't think that's what it was.
Oh, Ben.
Because he definitely did not survive. You think he was taking a selfie with his cheesy Gordita Crunch? And then he just had explosive diarrhea, and that was the end?
Well, probably like 14 of them.
I don't think we can blame selfies for that death. I don't think that's something that we can throw down. I don't think we can blame selfies for that. But anyway, well, this story, even though it's very sad and troublesome, it did provide some interesting talking points. So it wasn't all bad.
Ooh, I feel my next soapbox coming on, guys.
No, don't do it. You don't need it.
No, it's not tonight. I just mean it. I might be off the ALS soapbox and onto the selfie murder.
Oh, okay.
Death by selfie soapbox.
Well, tell you what, let's bring it home with... some good old-fashioned family racism, huh?
Yes.
All right. Something a little more lighthearted. The story reads, DC news crew robbed while reporting on app that identifies, quote, sketchy neighborhoods. A District of Columbia news crew reporting on an app that identifies sketchy neighborhoods had their van burglarized while they were interviewing individuals who lived in a neighborhood, or lived in a neighborhood the app identified as sketchy. Reporter Mola Lenghi said that he, photographer James Hash, and intern Taylor Biscotti were in the Petworth area interviewing residents who lived there. And when they got back to the news van, they noticed that the lock was popped out and that all of their stuff was gone. There were a couple backpacks full of electronics, stuff that they had collected over a span of 15 years. Ladies, Karma, she is a blank. Kimberly?
What?
Karma is a blank.
Other than a bitch?
You can say bitch.
Oh, no. No, I certainly don't.
Karma is, how about karma is fair?
Karma is ironic as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Yes. Karma is vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. It typically seems to satisfy me in the schadenfreude that I like to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the irony of that story.
This is definitely one of those
This
taking...
is not what Alanis Morissette was thinking about. This is actually
yeah,
ironic.
This is actually ironic. Right. So this is not fraud irony. Ben doesn't know that song and didn't know who Alanis Morissette was.
No.
Yeah. We don't have to talk about that right now. We're
Little
moving on.
Nugget.
But it's, he,
okay.
It's getting better.
It's
so
cute.
So, anyway, first of all, what is this app? They don't talk about it in there. I want it.
Well, Google it. Google the Shady Neighborhoods app.
The Shady Neighborhoods app. Yes, which
maybe,
one is
maybe
the
don't
Shady?
Google that, but Google. What are they, how do they list it in the article?
I don't know.
I don't think they really call it anything.
Yeah, they don't ever call it anything.
Sketchy Neighborhoods. Neighborhoods app.
Didn't I see something on the interwebs the other day about some, like, rich white kids sitting in a bar talking about sketchy neighborhoods? Was that this app?
No, I don't think so. It was originally titled Ghetto Tracker.
No!
Yeah, but they changed it due to public backlash. So
shocking.
As of right now, it isn't out. Like, you can't get it because it doesn't have a name. So they're working on getting a new name.
What would you rename Ghetto Tracker, Ben? I want to hear.
Oh, would I rename it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What would you call an app that tells you what neighborhoods to stay out of?
Neighborhood Watch Patrol?
Ooh, that's just too close to what's his name.
It's very Trayvon Martin-y.
It's very Trayvon Martin-y.
Oh, shit. Oh,
yeah, that's okay.
Martin. That's just as bad as Ghetto Tracker.
Yeah.
Ghetto Tracker. So
I didn't even go there until you said that, though.
What's that guy's name? What happened to him?
George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. He shot somebody else or something, right?
Fucking nutcase. Yes!
Whatever. Fuck that guy.
So, we'll give Ben a minute to come up with a different name. Lou, what would you name it?
I'd probably just call it White People App. Because that's the only people who would have it.
Oh, that's God. True.
So I just call
true.
It White
no
People
One else
App.
Would have it.
No, no one else would use it, so because no one else gives a shit. So, yeah, I just call it White People App.
I would call it the app that my mother would really like me to have if I lived in the city.
If you lived in the city, you would not be able to live anywhere.
Could we condense it to my mom's favorite
I know.
App?
In the city, there's a thing called culture.
Right.
We call it culture. Her mom.
Right. My mom's favorite. So you would call it my mom's favorite app.
My mom's favorite app.
That's
you would call it white people.
White people app.
I would call it racist as fuck.
I would actually get that app. There's just an app called racist as fuck, and it was free. I would just get it. Just because.
Good. Ben, what would you call it?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I like that.
That's what I would call it. Why?
Why? Yeah, it's good. White.
I'd also consider...
Why?
I
like that.
Why?
I'd also consider Honky Express. I like how it sounds.
Okay.
But
maybe I would call it, like, you have to give it some kind of, there has to be some kind of, like, alternate, like, chandeliers and shambles. You have to have, like, a little bit of both shanties, chandeliers and shanties. Yeah.
So, just to bring it back to the overall theme, why, if they were doing this story on this app, why did they need to be out on the street? Were they going up to poor people and being like, hey, we're in this terrible neighborhood because Ghetto Tracker tells us not to go here. What do you think about that?
Yeah, totally exactly what they were doing.
Oh, no shit, we got robbed? That doesn't make any sense.
Did you look on YouTube to see if you could, I'm sure they never published
it,
or not. They never aired the story.
They never aired the story.
However.
I mean, seriously, like, how many people, of course you got robbed if you're going up to people on the street and like, we're here in your neighborhood today because it sucks dick. It's poor, there's crime, we don't want to be here. What's your take? Like, yeah, you got robbed. Shocking.
You have the other than white people demographic. Therefore,
that's a great name for the app.
Other than white people.
Other than white people.
So we have a few good names. We should probably write someone and tell them what we think about
their
name.
No, I don't want to be involved in their disgusting app. I think it's ridiculous and just unbelievably preposterous.
They obviously need help renaming it.
Yeah, obviously.
You could be helpful.
No.
Because the app clearly needs to exist, just on principle.
Well, but if I do it, though, I'm only helping the people that I loathe.
You're helping
most,
the chandeliers, not the shanties.
The people that I loathe most in our country, so I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to let them squirm on their own.
You know what, though? Maybe it works in reverse. Maybe it's kind of a way to keep hipsters out of your neighborhood if you're just trying to live your life, you know?
Ben, you hate hipsters, don't you?
Of
course.
Don't get me started on hipsters. Greg lives in Bushwick, and it is the worst. They do this
Central.
New thing now, yeah, because there are graffiti tours and there's all that bullshit. Mm. But now there's this new, like, new form of taking a stand where they have stencils and they spray paint the sidewalk.
Why?
Uh-huh.
It's just going to get rubbed out and washed away, like, in a couple days.
Yeah, and they say things like, build communities, not condos, and art for whom? ? They don't even know what they're fighting for. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You mean art for whom?
Yeah.
Then don't make art, asshole.
Yeah. Art,
if you don't
art
hear
for
making
art,
it more,
you,
then go fuck
you
yourself.
You fuck, yeah. Art for art.
You self-pretentious,
dick-looking. Art for whom?
Art for whom?
Yeah.
Along with, random Dashboard Confessional lyrics and their Starbucks.
Whoa. That's very emo of you, Ben.
Oh, they wouldn't touch Starbucks in Bushwick.
Yeah, they wouldn't know. Hipsters would never go to a Starbucks.
They would get their own coffee through an underground fucking, I don't know.
That actually, that's about right, yeah. From a fucking underground, I don't know. Sounds actually about right.
Sounds like probably the name of the coffee shop.
Yeah.
The fucking underground, I don't know. Yeah, guys, they roast their beans really great. They have shaved grown beans, and they roast them, like, in a flannel shirt. They're fucking delicious.
That actually sounds like it would be a band name, too.
It would be a good band name, but I like it better as a shitty coffee shop where they sift their coffee beans in flannel shirts.
they just throw their cups of coffee at you. You're supposed to catch it.
They store them in a Doc Martin warehouse for safekeeping.
I haven't let go of the Doc Martins. You know,
you
I
still
have.
Rock Doc Martins?
No, I have a pair,
yeah.
Yeah,
you're from Oregon. That's
I'll never let
that's
Doc Martins and Birkenstocks, I will never let go of.
It's understandable.
It's
how you were raised.
And I shan't apologize.
That's no need to apologize. It's understandable. Ben grew up in Ohio where they don't believe in shoes, so, you know, at least you don't have that. Ben, how are the rivers of fire lately? Good? Flourishing?
Yeah, we haven't had any fire attacks, so I think we're doing pretty good for ourselves.
Did you ladies know that the rivers in Ohio occasionally just burst into flames?
Like, all the garbage?
Yeah, all the garbage.
And the toxicity?
Yeah, that's about right.
Just spontaneously combust?
Sure, yeah, that's about right. We've put pictures up on the website before. It's kind of amazing. It's beautiful.
Not proud of it.
No, he's not proud of it, but...
It's beautiful?
Kind of, in like a very romanticized,
what kind
of
beautiful?
Poetic type
In an art for whom kind of way?
There's fire across the water, and you see the city in the distance, and it's sort of like a, are we here?
Wow.
Did I fit in with the hipster sidewalk painting?
Oh, I don't even know what to say about that.
I thought that was pretty good hipster right there, but maybe I'm wrong. It was good. Das gut.
Das gut. Oh. Very good.
So basically what we've assessed from this is we need an app to get rid of hipsters.
Right. Just tell me where to find it.
Can we ask Siri how to get rid of hipsters? Will she answer us that?
Ask her.
Hold on. All right, Siri. Siri, how do we get rid of the hipsters?
Okay, give me a moment.
She did a search. She did a search, and the first thing that comes up says, does getting rid of hipsters count as genocide?
Oh, no.
This other one is an ad, and it says, do you have hipsters, ? Like, do you
like
have
an STD?
Yeah, do you have cockroaches?
Do you have herpes?
Wow.
So it's asking, like, middle-aged moms how to get their hipster sons and daughters out of their house?
That is amazing.
Wow. Good job, Siri.
No, Siri, I want you to tell me, what do I do about my hipster problem?
Let me have a look. Okay, I found this on the web.
The next thing that comes up on that after that one is, what should I get my hipster boyfriend for Christmas? Followed by, how do I download games on my hipster Flare tablet?
Hmm.
Oh. What's the hipster Flare tablet?
It's too underground. I'll look it up.
Look up. Also, where is this? There's another one of the spray-painted stencils on the sidewalk reads, gentrification is the new colonialism.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. I think they don't know what that word means.
They
don't.
I don't think that they do either.
I think they don't know the definition of colonialism or gentrification, for that matter. Because you're rich and white and spray-painting a stencil on the sidewalk to prove a point, you are gentrification.
Right.
You fuck.
It's art for whom?
It's art
for whom? Urban Dictionary defines hipsters as a subculture of men and women typically in their 20s and 30s that value independent thinking, counterculture, progressive politics, and appreciation of art and indie rock, creativity, intelligence, and witty banter. Why is that one in there?
Witty? Really?
If I have witty banter, I'm a hipster automatically by default? That's horseshit. The greatest concentrations of hipsters can be found living in the Williamsburg, Wicker Park, and Mission District neighborhoods of major cosmopolitan centers such as New York, Chicago, and San Francisco, respectively. Although hipsterism is really a state of mind, it is also often intertwined with distinct fashion sensibilities. Sure. All right, I'm done reading this. Yeah. We all know what a fuck.
So, just so you know, there is actually a thing known as hipster racism.
Now, talk to me about
hipsters
that.
Hipsters are not a race. Oh, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense at all.
That's
like
no different than, like, me hating every single frat boy that exists in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I like to call them
Douchebags.
Douchebags, yeah.
It's a complete guide to hipster racism.
They're just white people, mostly. Primarily.
Yeah,
generally.
You know. Well, you know what? Let's talk about hipsters.
Oh, good. I had hoped.
Let's just do this.
let's
see if it sounds as bad as if I were talking about someone of another race.
Oh, that's fun. That's
yeah,
a fun
okay.
Race.
So I was with my family last week, and we went to a brand new restaurant that opened up in Mankato, Minnesota. It was an Indian restaurant. Like Ho-Ho Indian, or like...
Dots or feathers.
See? Yeah. Here we go. Dad.
Wow.
So we went there to check it out, and we're sitting there trying to figure out what to order, and there is this table of hipsters sitting next to us, and I just couldn't stand it. The way they were talking, all these crazy words they were using, you know, like this newfangled language.
Right, colonialism.
Colonialism and gentrification. Then there was the worst part, the most insufferable behavior, was this one man who was talking about some sort of relationship that he must have just come out of. But he was saying, oh, you know, I wouldn't want to ruin anyone's dreams, you know? And I just looked at my sister and I was like, I can't handle this anymore.
How is he ruining
someone's
dreams?
I mean,
who knows?
I I think
by colonizing.
Can I be honest with you?
Giving people
the first part of what you said absolutely sounded racist.
Yeah, right.
It absolutely sounded racist. I tried to listen to it objectively and like look at nothing and just kind of listen to what you said. It absolutely sounded racist when you were like they were sitting by me and I couldn't stand it.
You guys, I think we need to have a new game called Racism or Hipsterism, and we should tell a story.
With fucking Kenny G.
We should either tell a story or read an article that's been published or something. And we
I like
have to
that
guess
game,
if it's
but I'm
race,
scared. But I'm
if
scared
it's racially charged or hipster.
The problem with that is that then we have to do racially charged, and I don't think that's
but sometimes
great.
It can be an article. It can be a story. It doesn't have to be one of our personal stories. It can be a piece of material. It can be a vehicle from the interweb.
Yeah. Ben, what, like, when you're at school and you're in college, like, what is the hipster culture like? Like, is it prevalent, or is it something that's more, like, people who are now out of college but are still younger than the three of us on this end?
Well, I don't really notice a lot on campus, but,
hopefully that's good.
Granted, I just don't really pay attention more than half the time.
Oh.
But when I do, no, I mean, every once in a while I'll see some kid with an acoustic guitar and a skateboard and a beanie, but,
Well, and that, you know, I mean...
I think those are the tryhards, but other than that, I mean, I don't really see it much.
Tryhards. I like that.
I play guitar and sometimes my head gets cold, so...
Yeah, I mean... But I mean, skateboarding,
you're
inherently
it's
taking
the
risk. Like, if you have your guitar strapped to you and you're skateboarding, you know that you could eat some shit and destroy your guitar. So you're obviously doing it to impress on a certain level.
Yeah, I don't skateboard.
Like, well, when they break the guitar, though, it's art for whom?
It's art for whom?
You need to remember, this is their big thing.
It's
they destroy shit, and it's art.
It's a poem. I wrote this poem about the time that I fell off my skateboard and broke my guitar.
Yeah.
It's called Splinter Dreams.
It's an art installation.
It's an art installation.
It's
art one part poem, one part sculpture, and one part living, breathing dance piece.
That's good.
It's going to be really special. Nothing you've ever seen.
Can't wait.
The people will bow to it.
Like the girl that knit the scarf out of her vagina thread.
Yes. Oh, that happened.
Has that story been on here?
Ben, we definitely exchanged that story back and forth. I don't know that we ever talked about it on here. The woman who knit the sweater out of her vaginal pubic hairs.
No, it's not out of pubic hairs. She stored. She would daily wind balls of thread and put them in her uterus, and then sit there in a museum.
Oh, this is not what I thought it was.
I'm gonna. You know what?
Gross. Let
I'll
us
send
do
it.
It
to you.
Yeah, send it to me.
All I want to say is it was a 30-day art installation and. You know, the natural progression.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. vaginal juice scarves coming next week.
I'll just say that the thread is white, and then there's a period. There's a... Oh, no. Pun.
Whoa.
Oh, no. There's a
that
frame
was a
of
Freudian
time.
Pun. That was a
that
Freudian
was
a
pun.
You didn't even mean to, and
no,
you made a terrible
there's a
pun.
Frame of time where the thread is no longer...
Ben, I think that Kimberly and you may have secretly had some sort of psychic connection just then. Like, unbeknownst to both of you.
So.
Because of that little Freudian pun that you just snuck out there. Oof. So anyways.
So next time on the news show.
So next time on the news show, we'll have vaginal juice scarves. Yeah, Ben, I know you're looking forward to that. that's the show, everybody. Ladies, anything to plug? Anything that, like, I don't know, that's something that happens in shows? Are you doing anything cool that you want people to know about? Other than just living your everyday life, obviously.
You're the coolest person ever. What is worth plugging?
Well, we have plugs.
Like what?
Well, like Twitter and Facebook, and Ben knows all about it.
Oh, I see. I don't do the Twitter.
Oh, that would be why, probably.
I don't do the twatting.
Yeah. You don't do the twatting?
No.
I'm not a twatterer.
Ben, do you do twatting?
I don't know how to respond to
you
that.
You responded properly. Ben, why don't you do our plugs? I like when you do our plugs. You're good at it.
Yeah, so...
I never remember the email address. That's really why.
Before I get into it, though, we had some new countries this week.
Oh, yes, the rundown of new countries that listen to us, because we discuss perverse topics. Go on, Ben, what do we got?
So we had three returning countries. We had the U.S., we had Germany, and we had United Kingdom.
Nice.
But we had two new countries, Argentina.
Ooh.
In Canada.
Finally!
Yeah.
Jesus, it only took almost a whole fucking year for Canada to get one.
Canadian brethren.
Cool.
I mean, we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to talk about on this show, so I don't get. But
oh, you wait, can't make fun of the Canadians.
Why?
Come on.
We make fun of Canadians all the time on this show.
There's nothing.
We
there's
well, we make
nothing
fun of everyone.
That, there's nothing negative about them.
I don't know.
They're,
they
you know,
have
they're really
stupid.
Nice people. Hey.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're so nice.
Real nice. Hey? So nice. But yeah.
I don't know if you can call them stupid. They don't have...
I don't think that they're stupid.
They don't have problems with shootings. They don't have gun control issues.
Yeah.
No.
I think they're really fucking smart. I think natural selection is the smarty pants go to Canada and the rest of us are out of here.
Yeah, that's probably...
Here we are.
Suckers.
Well, but I'm glad that Canada's listening because I like Canada.
True.
All right, so for any of you other countries out there, please, you have to get on board with us.
Get on the bandwagon already.
So, you can find us on Twitter at The News Chew. You can find us on Facebook with The News Chew with Ben and Lou. And you can email us, newschewwithbenandlou@gmail.com. So, Lou, is there anything else you'd like to add before we end this week's episode?
You won't want to miss next week since you already know what's coming. Sometimes